Good morning and welcome to Sharpening Our Souls, the ministry of Old River Baptist Church with Senior Pastor Danny Binney. We're excited that you're joining us this morning, and we would love it if you could come and be a part of our morning worship and Bible study at the church on Old River. To find out our service times, you can visit us on the web at www.oldriverbaptist.com, or you can call our church office at 281-576-6030. Let's join our pastor this morning as he delivers our sermon from the Word of God.
And I invite you to open your Bibles with me to 2 Thessalonians. No, I did not make that up. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 comes right after 1 Thessalonians, sonny. As you're finding that little book, this coming Wednesday evening, the chairman of our pastor search committee is going to lead our, after we have our praise time, he will lead in our worship time and give you updates on their committee and how that's progressing. And also lead you in a time of prayer for the church and for that committee as they continue to seek God's will and who God has for our church this next year as pastor. And so that's at 6:30 this coming Wednesday evening, and I invite you to please be here in the worship center for that as Richard leads us in that time. There's an old cliche that if you do not stand for something, you will fall for anything. And there is a lot of truth to that little saying. And there is no one that used the word stand in Scripture more than the Apostle Paul. And last week we looked at a passage that he had written that talked about, as he talked to Timothy, about standing. This week we're going to look at another one. Paul also wrote in the book of Ephesians, he talked about putting on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. And so standing and standing firm and sometimes standing alone is up to you. And if you don't do that, then no one else is going to be there to do that, to take that stand. And every person in here has places of responsibility in your community, your neighborhood, your schools, your work, your family, on and on the list can go. Sometimes you're just in a circumstance and someone needs to take a stand. And if you don't take a stand, no one will take a stand. Sometimes you're thinking, we may think, well, if someone else would just stand, then I will stand. But the fact is, it may be that someone else is waiting on you to take a stand for Christ, and then no telling how many are going to stand with you. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, the Apostle Paul says, "But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast." Now, I've always thought that was humorous. Now that's, I'm reading from the New King James. The Old King James says the same thing. Now, your newer translations probably doesn't say stand fast. It probably says stand firm. But whenever I was a little fella, and pastor always read from the Old King James, and I would hear that phrase in Scripture, stand fast, I thought, how do you do that? Is that running in place or what? But it means to stand firm. But I also would like for you, before we finish this, to look back at the second word. Could we go back to that first verse, Daniel, verse 13? But we are bound, that is, under obligation, to give thanks to God always for you. In the first service, I ask everyone to look around in here and look at the people who are in here, and also to look around at some people they know that would be in the second service. I want you to look around in here this morning. Just look around. And I want you to not only see the faces that you see in here now, but think about the faces that perhaps were in the first service, or people that you know come and maybe they're out of town. I want you to think of them as your brothers and sisters, as your family in Christ. And let's love each other. Doesn't mean that we agree with everything that's going on in everybody's life. But let's just make a decision right now. We're not going to keep score. We're not going to keep score, because if you keep score, what happens is you'll find that you're wiping your slate clean and everybody else's are getting marks on it. Paul could have said, but instead he said, but we. You see, it's not your job to love one another. It's our job to love one another. And we're going to have our disagreements. And we're going to have times when we don't see things eye to eye. But you know what? We're family. We're family. And something else that's interesting is that Jesus gave the world the right to judge you and me by the way we love each other and the way we handle our disagreements with one another. Jesus gave the world the right. So if there's a problem, look at it as an opportunity that the Lord's giving us to show before the world how we're going to love each other. All right, moving on. Back to verse 15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or by our epistle or letter. In other words, whether I was there in person speaking to you, Paul says, or whether it was what I wrote to you. Now, let's remember that the Bible teaches us that the way that we got this book is that holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. It wasn't just somebody's idea. It wasn't just somebody who thought, you know what, I think this sounds good. It wasn't that someone just sat down one day and began to write. Under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, those who had met Christ began to write under the leadership, and holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And so you have it, whether in person or the written word. Verse 16, now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. The Bible teaches us that we're to stand firm. And the reason we're to stand firm is, notice this first thing, is because we have a calling from God. There's been a special appointment from God to speak to you and me. Even on this day, before the foundations of the world, God knew that he would invite you here, and he would give me a word to stand before you and to share with you a calling from God. This church has a calling from God. You have a calling from God. And God knew that he was going to speak what he is going to say to you today through me and through his Holy Spirit to speak to your heart. A special calling from God. There's an old hymn that we used to sing as an invitation hymn quite often when I was growing up. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Now I want you to just close your eyes with me for just a moment. And can you hear the Lord calling? Calling your name? Can you hear the Savior calling? Now look back up here for a moment. What did He say to you? For some, He spoke to you and called you out to be His child, to be born again, to accept and receive Christ as your personal Savior. To some, as His child, He may have spoken to you in a disciplined way, but because He loves you. He may be calling you into His ministry. He may be speaking to you to do a particular act of service, to be involved in what He wants you to do in a particular way. But what did He say to you? We have a responsibility to stand firm because we have a calling from God. And Paul said to the Thessalonians, you have a calling from God. Therefore, notice the next thing, you have a cause to keep. You have a cause. You and I have a responsibility. In the generation that we have been allowed to live in, we have a responsibility to present the cause of Christ in everything we do and how we live. Regardless of where we are, we have a responsibility to present the cause of Christ. Let me ask you something. What's going to happen if you and I drop the ball? What's going to happen to the generation that's coming up if we drop the ball right now in presenting the cause of Christ, in making the fact that Christ is the most important, the all-encompassing thing, the center and the circumference of your life, and nothing greater can take place in your life than to be sure that you keep the cause of Christ as the priority, as the everything of your life? What's going to happen if we drop the ball? What's going to happen if we get out of step? Did you hear about the guy that was in this band? And it was a high school band. And they were marching in a parade. And people looked up and they saw this particular band coming down the street. And everybody was marching together except this one guy. And he was just dancing a jig. He was just doing something totally different. He was completely out of step with everyone else. And whenever the teacher came up to him and to find out, what in the world are you doing? He found out that he had his earphones connected to his iPhone and he was listening to music 1,000 miles away. Now, are you in step with God? Or are you just here in church occupying a space, but your heart and your thoughts are as far away from God as they can be? We have a cause to keep. We've got to stand for the cause of Christ, no matter who likes it and who doesn't. And it's never been more difficult to stand for Christ in our generation than it is today. Now, in Paul's day, Paul pointed out, and if you read the first part of that chapter, Paul pointed out that there were lots of people who were rejecting righteousness and they were following the path of unrighteousness. And Paul said, there's going to be a great price to pay for that. We're to stand firm because we have a calling from God, because we have a cause to keep. And therefore, there's a change that has to take place. A change. How do I become a Christian? Well, Danny, you believe in Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Okay, that's all up to me. I can do all the changing that needs to take place. I'm going to share with you, friends, that quite often what happens, and the reason it doesn't really take, is we try to make a change from the outside in. And it does not work that way. I want to share with you, you and I cannot be saved apart from the Holy Spirit working in our lives. Here's how it works. You are presented the truth, and you have to believe in that truth. You know what? It's not the truth that sets you free. Brother Daniel, the Bible says, and the truth shall set you free. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. You need to look at that again. It says, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Behold, the circus elephant. And this huge beast has a little chain around his leg, and it's connected to a little stake in the ground. Now, the truth is, that elephant could snatch that thing out of the ground with no problem. Break that chain, no problem. But when that elephant was small, when it was just a baby, he was chained to something that absolutely wouldn't break nor move. And so he's grown up thinking, I'm stuck. I'm stuck. The fact is, he's not. But he doesn't know it. The truth is, he could be free, but he doesn't know it. I had a horse. All I had to do was get a rope over his back. He'd stop. I'd bridle him up, saddle him up, and ride him wherever I wanted to. But if that horse would just, you know, when I'd get the rope over his back, he thought he was caught. If he'd just keep running, I'd have never ridden him. And you know what? Sin wants you to think, and Satan wants you to think, that you have sinned so much. You've sinned so bad that you are caught and you cannot get loose. But the fact is, if you will know the truth can set you free. Now here's what happens. You have to believe that truth. Believe it. You can't say, I'm not going to believe that. And God says, I'm going to change you anyway. It doesn't happen like that. But here's what happens. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you believe he died, came here, that the Word became flesh, Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us, and he lived a sinless, perfect life, and he took our place on the cross of Calvary to die for our sin, and you believe that, whenever you do that, here's what happens. You believe the truth, and the Holy Spirit will transform you from the inside out. You don't have to fake it. You don't have to pretend. There's just nothing left on TV to watch except one thing, Chick-fil-A commercials. That's the only thing left on TV that is worth watching. That's the only thing left on TV that I would really want my grandkids to see when they're over at the house, or Dana to see. And have you seen the latest one? I love it. I love it. You know, it's got this guy, kind of looks like Owen. And he got an old robe on, and he's up in the morning. He's got his coffee, and he's walking, and he hears something, and he looks out the window, and there's a cow, big Holstein cow, out in the yard. And that cow is crowing like a rooster. Have you seen it? How many of you have seen that? You don't watch enough TV, but anyway. And so he's standing there with his cup of coffee. And his wife says, honey, what are you doing? He said, watching a cow. She said, what's the cow doing? Impressions. Now, I want you to imagine I just pull this pulpit back out of the way. And I go over here and I get this stool and I bring that stool right up here. And I just perch myself on that stool and I put my hands like this. And I begin to flap my arms and I begin to crow like a rooster. And I tell you that I have decided I'm no longer a reverend, I'm a rooster. And I just sit here and I flap my wings, my arms. And I just crow and crow and crow. And you're already thinking right now without me doing that, bless his heart. I want to tell you something. Crowing like a chicken doesn't mean you can lay an egg. Mooing like a cow doesn't make you a heifer. You know what, friends? So many times we put on, we do an impersonation of what the Bible says a true believer is supposed to be, because we've never been changed from the inside out. We've just tried to make some changes on the surface, and we've never been changed from the inside out. Has that happened to you? Or should I say, has it never happened to you? Have you wondered why you can't seem to have that walk with Christ that you want to have? Is it perhaps because you have tried to make all the changes on yourself instead of the Holy Spirit, who is the only one who can transform a soul into someone who is a saint of God? And you've been trying to do it from the outside in instead of believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit coming in and doing what only the Holy Spirit can do. Listen to this again. Paul said, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Holy Spirit, setting apart, changing you, and belief in the truth. Say, oh, Brother Dan, I struggle with believing that. I struggle with believing that. Bible just doesn't seem to make sense to me. He stood here behind this pulpit a number of years ago, retired weatherman, Dr. Neil Frank. And Dr. Neil Frank shared with our men's supper that he had been raised in church, but when he got older, he got smarter. And he got this big education, and he knew there wasn't a God. And he then there were some people that tried to get him to come back to the Lord. And he, okay, I'm going to look at it and stuff. But he said, you know, it just didn't make sense to him. He said one day he was driving down the road, and I don't remember if he said that he pulled over or if he just said it while he continued to drive. And he said, Lord, okay, I'm going to believe in you. Now, I don't understand all this, but I say I believe in you. And I believe what is said about Jesus. Now, I don't understand all that, but I'm going to say I believe. And he said, when I got home, I went and picked up my Bible. He said, somebody had messed with my Bible. He said, because I saw things in it I'd never seen before. He said, I had an enlightening and an understanding from Scripture that I'd never seen before. Because you see, there had been a change from the inside out. We've got to stand firm because we've had a calling from God. And because we have a cause to keep. And because there's a change that needs to take place. And we have a choice to make now. A choice to make. So here's what you can do. As the Holy Spirit speaks to you, notice first of all, as God speaks to you, you can storm out. Have you ever done that? You ever just stormed out on God? You know that God's spoken to you. You didn't know exactly what it was, but you knew God was speaking to you. Something was speaking to you. And you just stormed out away from God. Perhaps you've been in a worship service and you sensed that something was speaking to you and it made you uncomfortable and you just stormed out. Whenever I was 11 years old, I received Christ as my Savior. But before that, oh, God could make me so uncomfortable. There'd be times whenever it was like the pastor was speaking to no one but me. It was as if no one else was there in church that day except for me. And I couldn't wait for the closing prayer so I could take off out of there and I could storm out. Maybe that's what you'll do again today, is you'll just storm out of here. Or you stall out. You stall out. You just let the motor quit running. you know, you don't like where God's taking care of business, and you just stall out. Have you ever been in a plane and it stalled out? I was. My first plane ride. And I've had some people say, that guy could have gotten in real trouble for doing this. I was riding in the front seat of that plane right beside the pilot, and I said, what happens if the motor quits? And he just shoved the throttle straight in. And it just, instead of us just slowing down and starting to fall like that, we were going along and dropped straight down. I'm telling you, I can't hardly tell that story without getting sick of my stomach. And I want to tell you, that was a long time ago. That's been nearly 50 years ago. And I still remember it like it was today. And I still don't appreciate it. I just wonder how God feels when I stall out on Him. I just stall out. I just stop. I just shut down the motors. And I just fall. Jesus is calling. Will you storm out? Will you stall out? You know what else you can do? You can stray off. You can just stray off. You know how that happens? Oh, you're coming to church. You're reading your Bible. You're living Christian life. And, oh. 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 And before you know it, you've strayed off. And maybe you're here today, and for whatever reason, you've strayed back. You're thinking right now, how did I get here? And you just strayed off. And you need to come back. Choose now. You can storm out. You can stall out. You can stray off, or you can do this. You can step up and stay put. Step up and stay put. And you're not going to let anything shake you loose from following God and living out God and letting the Holy Spirit have His way and convict you and convince you of all the things that need to be gone and all the things that need to be added in, and you're going to stop making any kind of excuses. You want to stand up for Christ? You want to stand for Him? You want to stand firm? Let me ask you to stand. Let me tell you, the first thing that has to happen if you're going to stand for Christ. Football coach calls the team around him. They're all standing up around him. And the coach says to the guys, guys, players, take a knee. And they all take a knee. They all go to the ground on one knee. I want to share with you, the way up is down. The way to stand firm is to be on your knees before God.
Once again, we'd like to thank you for joining us for Sharpening Our Souls, the ministry of Old River Baptist Church. If you'd like to contact this ministry, you can do so by visiting www.oldriverbaptist.com, or you can call the office at 281-576-6030. Our mailing address is 12948 FM 1409, Dayton, Texas, 77535. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to seeing you next week for another edition of Sharpening Our Souls.